The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. We're going to make some news today. We always do when we have folks on who are candidates for the big races. And at 8:35, George P. Bush from the Attorney General's campaign trail. I have a bit of audio of George P. Roasting Ken Paxton for suing all these school districts, these big blue liberal Texas city school districts who have gone rogue in violation of Governor Abbott's ban on mask mandates. I'll ask George P., okay, what would you do? That'll be at 8:35. We have no fewer than three candidates running for big offices who have some things they're probably going to need to answer some questions about. And here in the primary season, everybody throws up everything. It's like, okay, here's this. And you never know where it's from. Sometimes it's from competing campaigns. Sometimes it is from advocacy groups. There is a very stringent anti, and I don't mean that as criticism. There's a very, very, you know, definitive pro-life group that is throwing Alan West some grief for a quote of his. We'll ask if we think that's fair. Don Huffein says somebody working somewhere as a staffer who is a problem. So does every campaign have a staffer who's a problem, or is this something Don needs to do? And we have a little bit of a revelation about that. And I love Alan. I love Don. I love Louis Gohmert. Remember that if I raise $1 million in 10 days, I'll run for attorney general. Well, he's running for attorney general. Big questions as to whether that $1 million actually happened. And so I'll ask the question, do you care about that? Well, here's something I know you care about. It's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
So good. So good. I got you.
I wish I had the full 8.5 minutes. So I'll suggest that you spend that time today consuming a little meatloaf. This is Paradise by the Dashboard Light, a classic for the ages on the 1977 debut, Bat Outta Hell. Meatloaf, born in Dallas 74 years ago, is Marvin Lee Adey, passing away overnight. Might have been COVID-related, I hear, but then isn't everything. So rest in peace, Meatloaf. What a record. I suppose there have been a number of songs written about making out in a car in high school. We were barely 17 and we were barely dressed. This is the songwriting of the great Jim Steinman, who wrote everything on Bat Outta Hell. This and Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. And the Meatloaf was the master of the power ballad. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. People have spent decades going, what in the world is he talking about? But just an amazing showman. I saw him twice back in the day. And it's funny because the whole Meatloaf catalog was not like totally my wheelhouse, but it was, you left a show as exhausted as he was. Well, maybe nobody was exhausted as he was, but he left everything on the stage. He's provides some vocals to our friend Ted Nugent's Free For All album in 1978 and 76. And just a showman for the ages. Paradise by the Dashboard. Do you know what a huge player Paradise by the Dashboard Light was, you know, on my dorm floor at the University of Maryland in 1977? It's a classic of production. It's 8.5 minutes. It's about a guy and this girl, and they're, you know, getting at it pretty hot and heavy in a car. Paradise by the Dashboard Light, get it? And it's the whole notion of the girl is making him pledge, you know, to love me till the end of time, love me till the end of time. And there's a portion of it as things are heating up that you hear Yankees, legendary Yankees play-by-play guy Phil Rizzuto, he's coming around second, he's going for third base. Ha, 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 get it? And then at the end, you know, she's saying, you know, will you love me till the end of time? Will you love me till the end of time? And so he then finally pledges to love her till the end of time so that he can get what he wants there in the car. And then at the very end, the lyrics tell that he is praying for the end of time. It's all that I can do so I can end my time with you. Oh, man, they don't write them like that anymore. Rest in peace, the greatness of Meatloaf, passing away overnight at 74. All righty, 866-660-5759. We have many, many things to pop into politically, but before we do anything else, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, and guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. And Lord, be with us as we all chart our individual course out of this COVID nightmare. Help us to be smart and safe as we reclaim our lives. Guide us to fight for our liberties within the law and by following your law. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we fight for the unborn, where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything, and we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Always in the prayer, there's something that seems to refer to one of the headlines of the day. Fighting for the unborn. Tomorrow is the dark, shameful anniversary of Roe v. Wade. 49 years since Roe v. Wade tomorrow, January 22nd, 1973. And it was at that occasion that the justices of the Supreme Court then didn't have the guts, didn't have the clarity to look at the Constitution first, and they then relied on the oldest index card in the book of judicial activism, and that is ruling based on how they feel themselves politically and socially, how they feel the world ought to be. And so when you're doing that, it is going to cloud your constitutional thinking. Roe v. Wade needs to be overturned, and the incredible energy and joy that comes from me in seeing a season arise where it very well might be is not because I'm pro. I obviously because I'm pro-life. I think that's fantastic, but I don't look to the Supreme Court to do my political bidding. That's what the left does. I look to the Supreme Court to rule according to the Constitution. There is no right to abortion in the Constitution. None. They fashioned one, they concocted one, crafted it out of whole cloth. That must be undone, not because any justice is conservative or I'm conservative or because anybody is pro-life. It's not to throw any kind of bone to us politically. It is because it must honor the Constitution. That is what Supreme Court rulings should do, and then let the chips fall where they may. People can like it or not like it, but their job is to rule on the Constitution. Tomorrow is the Roe v. Wade anniversary. There is always a ton of pro-life marches. I'm sure there's a March for Life in D.C. The one in Austin is one that Rhonda's going down for, and she plays a part in it, in fact, and that is at the Texas Rally for Life. Learn more at texasrallyforlife.org. That'll be in Austin tomorrow on the actual Roe v. Wade anniversary, and follow her at producer Rhonda K. R-O-N-D-A, capital K, and she'll be posting stuff from down there. So on this occasion of the Roe v. Wade anniversary, let's go into the first of our interesting quandaries for candidates. And I offer these things sort of to ask you, is this a big deal to you or not? Because a lot of decisions to be made, and we start in the governor's race, where you have two people ostensibly in Alan West and Don Huffines running against Abbott sort of from the right, right? So we go to the abortion issue and what someone found, and this is from an outfit called AbolishAbortionTX.org, so I'm going to like them. And do you think there's any grief that anybody could give Alan West about a pro-life stance? None that I'm familiar with. But here's a quote they found, and so you tell me if this is a problem.
Last year in January, there was an issue going up before the people in Lubbock, Texas. That was to make Lubbock, Texas a sanctuary city for life. They called me and asked me to go out there and march with them. In May of last year, Lubbock became the number one, the largest sanctuary city for life in the United States of America. And I was honored to be able to stand out there with them. Now, some people will say, well, Colonel, we've heard that you talk about rape and incest. That's something that I think that my personal belief is that if my daughters were to be criminally violated, I would love to be able to have that discussion with God and with family, but I will do what the people have me to do.
Okay, first of all, what the people would have me to do, I don't even know what that means. However, I do know what it means if you entertain the rape and incest exception. It means you are not fully pro-life. I'm sure Alan will be on the show soon, maybe in about a half an hour, I don't know. That's not a pro-life stance. If you are pro-life, the rape and incest exception does not morally work. That newly created human life is either sacred or not. If it is, rape and incest do not change that. If it's not sacred, well, then you can carve out an exception for rape, incest, or it's my sixth kid, or it's not convenient, or I'm busy this year. It's either the life is either expendable or it's not. It's either sacred or it's not. This is binary. So, I don't want to talk about it. And first of all, it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world when someone talks about something like this happening to your own daughter, happening to your own wife, happening in your own family. However, that is the ultimate test, isn't it? That is the ultimate, that's the ultimate touchstone. So I'll just say that the definition of pro-life is there's only one exception, and it's not rape, and it's not incest. And it's not health of the mother. It's the life of the mother. The life of the mother in palpable danger. Then and only then does abortion become permissible. If you are pro-life. Period. Number two, let's go to Greg Abbott's other challenger, and this is Don Huffines. Love Don. These are all people I love. So, you know, there's that. You know that. So if you're running for governor, and I guess specifically if you're a conservative for governor, you got a bunch of people and they're helping you out and they're, you know, like a staffer, whatever that means. And so we're talking about a guy associated with the Huffines campaign who may be some obscure staffer. There was some blurb that he was like assistant communications person in some vein, and that appears not to be true. But the person in question who loves Don and who has done some stuff for Don is a guy named Jake Lloyd Colglazier, C-O-L-G-L-A-Z-I-E-R. It's a YouTube channel under the name Jake Lloyd, which sounds like a good radio name. Hey, everybody, Jake Lloyd. So what's the problem with this guy? You know, we've talked a little bit about American nationalism. That to be a nationalist is not a problem. It means it's America first. It means American exceptionalism. That's all great. When you get into the world of white nationalism, Clinton becomes problematic. And this guy apparently crosses this line in spades. He's 24. He's one of these Groiper, Nick Fuentes, Chowderhead devotees. And it's, you know, we're reaching a demographic tipping point and replacement theory. And you know, we need to combat anti-white hatred. And listen, buried in here in some places is some stuff that makes sense. Is there a reason why the Democratic Party loves the flood of immigrants, you know, from south of the border? Sure. And it's not their demographics. It is that incoming floods of Hispanic of migrants have a strong likelihood of, you know, growing up, getting naturalized and voting Democrat. That's what they love about it. It's not racial. It's political. For this young man, it appears to be supremely racial in a lot of ways. And that's just a problem. It's a bad look. And he's got a again on this YouTube channel and various other online stuff that he's done. Here's one of this guy's greatest hits, a small riff on George Floyd.
When I Google it, all I see is George Floyd stuff. I hate that name. I spit on the name George Floyd. I spit on George Floyd.
Okay, that's, yeah, okay. So they go to Don, Texas Tribune, which hates Don, goes to Don and says, so what about this guy? And Don emails back and says, well, if I've got young conservatives working for me, I'll probably look through any of their stuff and find something I disagree with. This is not about something you disagree with. I love Don. Free advice. Kick this guy to the curb. Now, number three, this is a Louis thing. So you remember when we were looking for Louis. To see if he'd raise that $1 million in 10 days. We had him on at the beginning of the 10 days. Then we sought to have him on at the end of the 10 days. We had a little hiccup of a delay, but we finally had him back on after he'd announced, like, hey, I got the $1 million. I'm going to run for attorney general. Well, campaign finance documents apparently tell differently that he had scarcely gotten $27,000 within that window. Now, here's the thing. Did he have $1 million ultimately? Yeah, by the end of the year. But did he have $1 million within the 10 days? The campaign finance documents appear to scream, no, he did not. And he ran anyway. Now, we'll talk to Louis at some point soon, maybe in the next half hour. All these people, let me get on the show, which you surely may do. Please, please, please do. Maybe he got some pledges. It's like, hey, you know, I'm going to free up some cash. I'll have it to you, you know, by middle of December, end of December. And he used that as part of the logic to say, yes, I've got the $1 million. But did he have it on hand, having received it by November 23rd when he announced his run for attorney general? He did not. Okay, so there's today's, we throw you all the campaign news, the stuff, and some of the more interesting things are with, you know, people saying stuff about people and... So there we are. There's our little campaign update. All right. So we're going to Mike in Vegas, and there's news there. And so let me set that up here in just a moment. Mark Davis, 7:25.
Don't start clinging to me, girl, because I can't breathe. Baby, don't get hooked on me.
I am one phoneme away from being this guy, Mac Davis. Would have turned 80 today, but passed away back in 20. Baby, don't get hooked on me. Had the songs this guy wrote, including for Elvis. I mean, the guy wrote In the Ghetto, Memories, Little Less Conversation. And then, of course, also just this incredible litany of songs. Stop and Smell the Roses, One Hell of a Woman. Unbelievable. And, of course, that particular song gave the unforgettable line, girl, you're a hot-blooded woman child. Diagram that sentence. All right, we're going to Vegas, and Mike has a story. I know what it's about, but I don't know what it's about. We'll find out together next. Right now, first of all, here's stories that we always crave at the bottom of the hour. I'm Mark Davis. Here's Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. The one up-tempo Adele record, and it's great, she's awesome, and I was so stoked. I mean, I was going to offer this up to Mike and say, hey, Are you ready to go? Are you ready to hop into that?
Oh, I was ready.
And it would have been tonight.
Her opening night, her 12-week residency, where she was paid £500,000 British pounds a performance. Now,
per performance, which is I think about $620,000 US dollars.
How did you know that? I was going to say, for people who don't know the conversion at $620,000, but of course, as smart as you are, you knew right away.
I can't find my car keys, but I know currency conversions.
So 12 weeks, about, I think, two or three weekend night, like Friday, Saturday, yeah, I think.
I think the thing is called Weekends with Adele, and it was going to last well into the spring. However, go ahead and tell everybody what happened.
I should have paid attention to the news reports that all the tickets were going for $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, and that fraud was rife. Here's the quick story.
Oh, my.
I bought tickets online.
Oh, my.
A site called Viagogo.
Right.
Viagogo is like, I think it's like a, I don't know, like a poor man's StubHub. And I should have realized, wow, $300?
Oh,
for third row
no,
orchestra?
Dude.
These are great seats.
Uh-huh.
Printed them out, as it turns out, and of course, the transaction went through.
Well,
bought three
of
them. And let me inject a personal story. My business manager and dear friend, Joey Hudson's Joey Hudson's with me out here in Vegas because he's doing his show from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Peggy Hudson in Greenville, South Carolina, who is an Adele fanatic.
She was going to fly in? That's the three?
Hops on the plane.
She is
in flight when we find all this out. That the tickets are probably fraudulent. Now, you got to know Peggy to appreciate. You don't want to be on her bad side. And Joe and I looked at each other and said, we're in so much trouble. When she lands after about a 12-hour, you know, changing planes and everything, flight, it's not easy to get from Greenville, South Carolina to Las Vegas. But she got here last night, 7 o'clock she landed, and we weren't going to have tickets in hand. When the news broke and we found out at the COVID testing site outside the arena at the Coliseum, at the Caesars Palace, because everybody has to not only have the proof of vaccination to see Adele, but you got to get a COVID test that you got to show a negative COVID test within 48 hours. And they provide testing outside the door. I'm thinking, how bad do I want to see Adele?
Well,
you know, but nonetheless,
pretty bad.
I guess.
You test hourly, so it shouldn't be such a big deal
right.
for you.
Oh, me, listen, I don't even feel it anymore. My nostrils
are numb. He doesn't have any nostrils anymore.
I got none. I got to go. They go right up to that Q-tip goes right up to the brain. So we go by the COVID testing site, and we're already in a panic because we don't have the tickets. We don't know what we're going to do. And I told Joey, well, we're going to have to go bankrupt. We're going to have to spend $20,000 to get a ticket for your wife because there's no way she's going to get off that plane
right,
and not see Adele.
Right.
The stricken look on the face of the COVID testing people informed us, oh my gosh, 5 minutes ago, Adele on social media posted a tearful message. She's canceling the whole tour. It's not ready. COVID delays or shipment delays. COVID. I don't know what
let's hear a few seconds of that because I went and found it. And then I'll tell you the first thing that occurs to me. So here she is.
Hi,
where's she?
Listen, I'm so sorry, but my show ain't ready. We've tried absolutely everything that we can to put it together in time and for it to be good enough for you, but we've been absolutely destroyed by delivery delays and COVID. Half my crew, half my team are down with COVID. They still are. And it's been impossible to finish the show.
So this is terrible.
Boy.
I feel so deeply for her. However, what I care about most is you, and this is the greatest thing that could have happened to you. And I'm not even going to.
You want to talk about God smiling?
It's a little bit like me praying.
I hope everybody's okay, but let me tell you something. The gods have said, Lord God in heaven above has smiled upon Gallagher again. It's like Hugh Jackman with The Music Man.
Yes.
I won't tell you what I paid for those tickets. And until he got COVID, I was going to have to eat those tickets because his co-star was out with COVID, but they wouldn't refund me the money.
Right.
Only when, and by the way, StubHub, it's been 26 days.
Uh-huh.
Still don't have the money back.
Give them a billing cycle.
They say they get 30 days, but 31, I'm going to call my lawyers, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. Anyway, the classic line of all lines was Joey Hudson turning to me, because, again, you got to know what it's like to face the wrath of Peg Hudson. And she's a longtime Salem executive, incidentally, runs our sales effort, and she's retiring in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. So we're going to miss her in a professional sense, but she's like my sister. I mean, Joey and she's like you. I mean, it's like family, you know, people I love who I work with. Joey turned to me very wryly in his southern drawl and said, "Well, I hate it for Adele,
but
boy, did we dodge a bullet!
We pulled your butt out of the fire.
Well, his too. Yeah. He was the one. He was right in there. It was his idea to go see Adele in the first place.
I can only imagine, because you literally would have been involved in an inside 24-hour purchase of Adele opening night for her residency.
Oh,
it would have been five figures to be in the rafters.
To be absolutely in the last cheap seats of the house.
Yep.
And we would have said to Peg, "Well, you're here."
Yep.
We wouldn't have been able to see Adele.
You could have heard her a second later than the people in the front row.
Wow. But anyway, anyhow, we're off to Cirque du Soleil tonight. We're going to see the Beatles tribute show Love, which I've seen 100 times and I love
very,
it.
Very, very
cool. Peg's never
seen
it, so she'll love that nice consolation prize. So one more day in Vegas here at the SHOT Show at the big shooting, hunting, and outdoor trade show. We're having a great, great time.
Can I give you one other thing with your penchant for show? Is, I'm thinking that the theatrics here made you an appreciator of this guy. Dallas-born Marvin Lee Day, the great Meatloaf, passing away overnight at 74.
Gosh, so sad.
Man,
so
the power ballads, this and 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. Oh, my, that was 17-year-old Mike Gallagher when Bat Out of Hell came out and Paradise by the Dashboard Light. And just so
he never thought of him as a rock star.
No.
He played a rock star.
No.
He always said,
yes.
Now, this is a guy who filled 100,000 seat arenas.
Yeah.
You know, people love this. And they're already sharpening their knives. Here come the political ghouls, because he died of COVID, apparently, just released. And
did he? I don't mean to throw shade at
or
that,
maybe
but I mean,
died with COVID.
Well, I was going to say, if you ram your car into a wall and you had COVID, it's a COVID.
He
death,
was supposed to, apparently, according to TMZ, is reporting that he had a big business meeting days before his death, and he was unable to attend because he was seriously ill with COVID.
Could very
so,
well be. Mm.
So now, then, here's what they're doing over at the crazy far left sites.
He was
apparently a pretty conservative guy.
Well, yeah.
Willing to go on Fox News all the time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know much about his politics, but he was, according to TMZ and now the New York Post, a pretty prominent anti-COVID mandate guy.
Anti-mandate?
Anti-mandate. Doesn't mean,
do you know how
know,
many, the majority of them, or at least the plurality of Americans, are pro-vaccine and anti-mandate?
I know. And that's normal. That's a reasonable position to have, just like 80% of people now, according to Rasmussen, are in favor of voter ID laws. But more on that in just a moment.
Good.
So normal common sense people can be against the mandate, but for the vaccine.
Right.
But the question is, where was he on the vaccine, according to the leftist ghouls? And they're assuming he was not vaccinated, because that'll be the next question. Was he vaccinated?
I don't know.
I don't think the family's going to give that up. They don't need to tell anybody. It's nobody's business.
Yeah.
It's nobody's business. The guy died. He's 74 years young. Way too early. So sad. But for many people, your vaccination status is a really important part of the narrative of somebody's hospitalization.
Can I ask you a question?
Death.
Can I ask you a question? Because
sure.
Meatloaf,
sure.
Private citizen. Okay.
I
don't want to create tension on a Friday. If you are running for something, if you're an elected official or running for something, it's still your private business. No doubt. It always is. Don't you kind of need to answer that question? My point being that it's binary. You either are vaccinated or you're not. Vaccinated and boosted. You either are or you're not. Right? If you are, say so and lead in that regard and be an example. You know, be of value. If you're not, say so and explain yourself in that regard, and you know, take the heat. DeSantis to a couple other folks, and I love DeSantis. Attorney General Ken Paxton's got a big honking case of COVID right now, and then it's like, no immediate reply is whether he's vaccinated. It's like, dude, answer the dang question.
I will have to admit. And you and I are now both going to be in the crossfire.
Okay, let's go to that MyPillow text line.
Let's go to the MyPillow
1-800.
You two hate freedom.
I thought you people love freedom. I'll never listen to you again. I hope you get COVID like Adele.
Anyway, sorry. She doesn't have COVID. She's the only person who doesn't have COVID.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, she didn't look good on that video.
Yeah,
all right, the MyPillow text line for your comments about all this.
Do you want elected? It's kind of funny. I would think if the people who are friendly toward the vaccine would like to have leaders say yes. Trump saying he's vaccinated and sticking up for the vaccine, I think, is one of the most awesome things around. If somebody's like vaccine hostile, you got to love Don Huffines, who says I ain't taking it and I'll never take it. There's always value in answering the question.
I'm going to answer the question you just asked by saying in the affirmative, I have to admit, I don't understand the reluctance of public officials to confirm or deny their vaccine.
I do. I understand it completely. You ready?
Well, tell me why.
Any politician failing to answer the question does not have the guts to take the heat from the people that won't like their answer. Period.
Well, maybe that's what it is.
I've scratched my head.
Because you're right. You talk about Huffines. You talk about others. President Trump. I mean, the criticism against President Trump is that he wasn't forceful enough or public enough. He always said he had the vaccine.
Of course.
He delivered Operation Warp Speed. And then they point to when he was in I think it was Dallas with Bill O'Reilly.
Yep, and he
booed. He said he was vaccinated. He got
like a few people, whatever.
A few people, but it does speak. Listen, let's talk about the base, how important the base is. Uh-huh. You and I have had an interesting dialogue this week about Dan Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. I was reading last night over Texas Monthly, Dan Solomon. Is Dan Crenshaw in trouble? Here are the reasons why, because I'm intrigued by this, and I think you seem to be too.
Mm-hmm.
Crenshaw, the report says, hasn't towed every party line. He's offered a fair amount of red meat to the base. However, he's called the House members in the Freedom Caucus grifters who tell lie after lie after lie. He published a Daily Wire column decrying the Republicans' emphasis on owning the libs. He called rising GOP star Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia an idiot who's running a scam. And he shows up at some of these events, and he's getting heckled. He's going to yell at north of Houston. A 10-year-old girl quoted a remark that Crenshaw made.
Yep, and played that in detail yesterday.
And so all of and here's what's interesting. Redistricting puts him in an unusual spot. Texas's second congressional district was redrawn to turn a district Trump won by a single point in 2020 into one he'd have taken by 23 points, replacing the more competitive parts of Houston with Montgomery County. So as a result, Crenshaw, says Texas Monthly, is suddenly running to represent constituents who are significantly more conservative than the ones who voted him into office in his first two terms.
I will answer the question right now. Is Dan Crenshaw in trouble? No. Will he have a narrower path to a primary victory than he would have otherwise had? Yes.
Yep.
Does he need to learn a lesson or two about mouthing off about the stylistic differences he may have with a Matt Gaetz or a Marjorie Taylor Greene? Yes. Does he need to not engage harshly with 10-year-old girls at his events? Yes. So those are your
answers. How about not calling the Freedom Caucus idiots? Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't think it was everybody.
I mean,
it wasn't everybody. I know. Not good.
Come on.
Good.
No, but we got to be unified. They are. The Democrats are.
Tell me. Whoa, are they? Isn't that a very last year thing to say?
Not as much as they usually are.
Oh, but real quick, I may have a huge I told you so coming within weeks. They're starting to reshape Build Back Broke in order to pitch it to Joe Manchin and turn it into something he can vote for.
I told you. Well, we'll see. Listen. We knocked down the upending of our election system. Thank the Lord for that. Thanks to Joe Manchin. And
isn't that wild? We run nothing. We run nothing. We don't have the House. We don't have the Senate. We don't have the presidency. And yet we are actually stopping a wide variety of bad Democrat ideas seemingly every day. So,
and the reason the Democrats are coming apart right now is because they can't figure out how to keep Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in the witness protection program. They ought to keep them completely off the airwaves, off of a podium. Did you see Savannah Guthrie grilling Kamala Harris?
These are interesting. No, they're not. I am.
Is this like the Academy Awards?
I got five other people in my management team I want to thank. No. We'll let this roll for them.
My agent, my mother.
Why do you think that is? When the media would give occasional heat to Biden, we thought than it was to get the president they really wanted, Kamala Harris. Well, Lord knows that can't be true anymore. So what do you think is going on? What, I mean, is that a rare moment of actual journalism? What's happening here?
I think they actually realize that we got a catastrophe on our hands, and even they can't ignore it.
So
I mean,
maybe. You, okay, so maybe.
When you got Biden doubting election integrity of the upcoming midterms and then pretending he didn't.
So maybe this is the media culture saying these guys both have to be swept away so that in 2004 we have a Democrat ticket that contains neither of them. That makes sense?
Maybe. I think you're overthinking it. I don't think they're thinking that closely.
I think they're realizing, holy crap,
we're in a panic. All right, one more day at the SHOT Show. See you Monday back in Florida. Love you, man.
Love you. Happy weekend. Mike Gallagher will help you kick off that weekend with his Friday show at 10 right here on 660 AM The Answer. The statement from the family goes like this. Our hearts are broken to announce that the incomparable Meatloaf passed away tonight with his wife Deborah by his side. Daughters Pearl and Amanda and close friends have been with him throughout the last 24 hours. His amazing career spanned 6 decades that saw him sell over 100 million albums worldwide and star in over 65 movies, including Fight Club, Focus, Rocky Horror, Wayne's World. Bad Out of Hell remains one of the top 10 selling albums of all time. We know how much he meant to so many of you, and we truly appreciate all the love and support as we move through this time of grief in losing such an inspiring artist and beautiful man. We thank you for your understanding of our need for privacy at this time. From his heart to your souls, don't ever stop rocking. The Facebook post from the family of Meatloaf.
No, I won't do that.
Much more to come. Friday show, Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.